With informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An explosion has reportedly killed at least 10 people now and injured scores of others at the United Nations headquarters in Baghdad. Neil Smith with the headquarters company 2nd Battalion 37th Armored Division says troops there are still trying to organize the search and rescue effort.
We are currently investigating the explosion that occurred here at the UN compound in Baghdad. We don't know the cause or the delivery method at this time. We've currently established a cordon to keep all the civilians out of the area.
The UN special representative to Iraq is reportedly among those most seriously wounded in today's blast. The BBC says the explosion ripped through the UN headquarters just as a news conference was about to take place there. Witnesses also said today's blast was bigger than the one that rocked the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad about 2 weeks ago, killing a dozen people. One of Saddam Hussein's vice presidents has now been captured in Iraq. Taha Yassin Ramadan was seized by Kurdish fighters in the northern city of Mosul. That story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Taha Yassin Ramadan was known as Saddam's enforcer. He's named on America's most wanted list of Iraqi officials and appears as the Ten of Diamonds in the infamous deck of cards. He's accused of a role in the repression of Iraqi Kurds as well as the Shia Muslims. Ramadan was captured by members of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan in what officials say was an operation carried out by political parties and local residents. The Pentagon has confirmed Ramadan's capture and says he's now in U.S. custody. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
President Bush says American troops currently deployed in Liberia will be out by the 1st of October. During an interview with Armed Forces Radio released earlier today, the president said the United States is conducting a mission of limited scope and duration in that war-ravaged African nation. About 200 American soldiers are currently on the ground in Liberia's capital of Monrovia, where they're helping to coordinate efforts to bring in humanitarian aid and restore order.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all. Whoa, 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 just because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A West Virginia sheriff doesn't think there's a copycat sniper on the loose, but he's not ruling out anything yet. Kanoa County Sheriff Dave Tucker's called in members of the Washington, D.C. Area Sniper Task Force, hoping to find out who's behind three fatal sniper attacks near Charleston last week. Police in California are looking at surveillance tapes, hoping to find out who might be trying to kill financial guru Charles Schwab. Monterey County deputies detonated a briefcase bomb near Schwab's home in Pebble Beach yesterday, and they also detonated another bomb found at a Schwab office in Carmel, California.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
The biggest blackout in U.S. history is costing New York City a bunch. More from correspondent Lisa Romanello.
It may be the billion-dollar blackout. The city controller's office estimates the cost of the 29-hour outage at $1.1 billion for the Big Apple alone, including $800 million in lost economic activity, $250 million in food that was thrown out, plus lost tax revenue and overtime costs for cops, sanitation crews, and other city workers. Transit officials say they lost nearly $5 million in subway fares alone. alone. It all shakes out to about $36 million per hour. Elected officials led by Governor Pataki have already called on the federal government to help the state and the city recover. Lee Ceramanello, New York.
President Bush, meanwhile, is pushing Congress to work out differences in a comprehensive national energy bill. He said it's time to get something done, and lawmakers will work on it when they get back from their August recess. House Republicans in 2001 rejected legislation to spend millions to revamp power transmission. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America, Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lyka with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes. When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Lycus. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. 10 people at least are killed in this blast in Baghdad. I have a horrible feeling. This is what, you know, I told you so's almost never have a good feeling or taste to them. Particularly when there is tragedy involved. And back when George Bush was talking about, we're going to go over to Iraq. I mean, forget his bring them on stupidity. But back when he was saying, let's go into it. We're going to go into Iraq. We're going to, you know, and people were saying, but, you know, that country has been invaded before. You know, Britain tried to control them during the first part of the 20th century. And there's this very strong nationalist sentiment there. And I am just continually amazed at news reports that keep parroting this administration's position that the opposition that they are facing in Baghdad are remnants of the Saddam regime. I don't think anybody was all that loyal to Saddam. I mean, there are those who say, well, you know, there's no big deal. There are those who say there was. This upsets me. I lost my train of thought. A car bomb explosion ripped through a hotel used by the United Nations as its headquarters in Baghdad today, leaving at least 8 people dead, wrecking the building and rocking the surrounding neighborhood. This from the New York Times. Up to 50 people were wounded and body parts were scattered through the rubble, a witness said. By the way, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're broadcasting live coast to coast on the radio network, on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, Live365.com with archives at White Rose Society. And no suspects, it says the New York Times. And if you want to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com and just click the chat links. We've got a bunch of folks in there having a conversation already. No suspects have been arrested in that incident, but there's been much talk of involvement in terror attacks by Ansar Islam, a militant group linked to Al-Qaeda that had been declared a terrorist organization by the United States. Now, this group had a camp up in the north part of Iraq, the part that was under our protection in the no-fly zone up near Iran. And we took that out when we first went into Iraq. But they certainly weren't down in the area where Saddam could have gotten them, because he didn't like these guys either. I mean, this is an Islamic group, and he was the secularist. Anyhow, American officials believe hundreds of members of Ansar Islam have now entered Iraq. So they're coming in. In more violence today, a 1st Armored Division soldier was killed by an explosive device, the United States Central Command said. The incident took place in the Karadai district at 2 p.m., a statement said. Oh, I remember what I was going to say a minute ago. Yesterday, we had this fellow on who was presenting himself as a defense expert, and he said, I don't think that the average person is all that involved in killing Americans or opposing American occupation of Iraq. And certainly that's true. Similarly, the average Iraqi was not all that involved in opposing Saddam. I would say probably 98 or 99% of Iraqis back before we invaded, their main interest was making enough money every day to feed the family. I mean, it's even in the most repressive regimes, you see popular revolutions that are carried out by relative minorities, at least in the beginning. So anyhow, we're just repeating this. Are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair? Our question for the hour. And these failed policies are quite substantial. I'm going to repeat our quote from yesterday as our quote for the day, because I only mentioned it once yesterday. I actually got an email from somebody saying, would you please repeat that? The liberty of a democracy is not safe, Franklin Roosevelt said, if the people tolerate the growth of private power to a point where it becomes stronger than their democratic state itself. That, in essence, is fascism. Ownership of government by an individual, by a group, or by any controlling private power. And this was the man who went to war against fascism. He was certainly in a position to know. So here we have this bombing in Iraq, this horrible, horrible bombing. And the death toll is, I mean, they say 8 are dead. I'm sure it's going to climb. And let's look back. Today in history, this is August 19th, day 191 of the search for weapons. Not weapons programs, but weapons of mass destruction that represent an imminent threat to the United States. 191 days we've been looking for these things, and day 707 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George Bush when he is campaigning, Osama bin Laden. So, on this day in history, August 19th, a very significant event happened in 1953. Now, here's a clip from NPR, from a montage that they pulled together, of clips of other news sources, of what happened in 1979 as a result of what happened in 1953. And this will set this thing up for you.
Shah of Iran left his country today on a vacation from which he may never return. There were celebrations in the streets of Tehran.
Despite fuel rationing, tens of thousands surged into the center of Tehran, honking their car horns, flashing the lights, and waving windshield wipers. Today there were more shouts of Yankee go home.
Victory for the people was how Ayatollah Khomeini described it, his friends and followers clearly agreeing as the 78-year-old exiled Muslim leader emerged from his cottage near Paris after learning the Shah had left Iran.
Now, this all goes back to Mossadegh. In 1951, he was appointed premier. And he, this was Mossadegh was the head guy. Mohammad Mossadegh was the head guy in Iran. And immediately in 1951, he began attacking politically in his speeches the fact that the British oil companies, primarily British Petroleum, were operating in Iran. And he started calling for the nationalization of the Iranian oil fields. In other words, he was saying to the people of Iran, this is our oil. The British are here. They're pumping this stuff out. They've been doing it since the 1930s. They have no right to do that. This is our oil. And there was a strong popular support for that. And the History Channel, historychannel.com, notes U.S. officials watched events in Iran with growing suspicion. And then they say, working with the Shah, the CIA and British intelligence began to engineer a plot to overthrow Mossadegh. And on August 19th, 1953, in fact, that's exactly 50 years ago today, the military, backed by street protests organized and financed by the CIA, overthrew Mossadegh. Now, what was the first thing that the Shah of Iran, this, you know, the CIA organizes this overthrow of Mossadegh in Iraq, in Iran, and what's the first thing that the guy that we install in his place does? The very first thing. After he takes power, after he consolidates his police forces and whatnot, he signed over 40% of Iran's oil fields to American oil companies. Mossadegh was arrested. He was in prison for 3 years. He died in 1967 under house arrest. But this, and then of course, you know, the Shah got cancer. The Shah was weakened. And in the meantime, this popular uprising, led by this religious fanatic, Ayatollah Khomeini, runs the Shah out of town and says, we're going to take our oil back from those American oil companies that the Shah gave 40% of our oil to. And don't think this was not a big issue. Because this is virtually the only source of revenue for this nation. I mean, this is the wealth of the nation. Countries don't just have wealth by virtue of running printing presses. Countries have wealth by virtue of one of two things. Either there is human wealth, that is, humans create wealth by virtue of thinking, like Thomas Edison did inventing the electric light bulb, or by virtue of their labor. So there's intellectual and physical labor-generated wealth, or nations have wealth by virtue of natural resources. One of the things that fueled the explosion of the United States throughout the 19th century and into the 20th century, and still does, is the fact that this continent was rich with unexploited natural resources. So, Iraq or Iran, I mean, what did they have? I mean, they were the Persian rugs, you know, they exported, but I mean, this was not an exporting powerhouse. Oil was what put the Middle East on the map. These folks were basically Bedouin tribes before that. Not just Bedouins, but I mean, they were riding around on camels, living in tents. I know that sounds like a stereotype. I have been in this region. I've not been in Iran, but I've been in the region, and there are still people living in tents, riding around on camels. In fact, I've ridden on a camel with them. And so, you know, they said, we want our oil back. And this is the same thing that happened with the British in Iraq. And they drove the British out, and Saddam Hussein's big shtick in taking over Iraq was he was going to nationalize the oil industry. And he did. And so now we go in there and we say, we're putting Halliburton in charge of your oil. And what's the response? What is the predictable response? What were the these corrupt conservatives with this self-serving notion of, well, we just need to make, you know, take the Middle East. I mean, our oil, we need oil for security. Our question, are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair? You're listening to Tom Hartman, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 12th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Orlando. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is Stacey Noble, and someone broke into my back window.
Okay, did you call the police? You're my first phone call.
When you have OnStar, no matter where you go, a live advisor is available to help 24 hours a day.
Okay, what I'll do is contact the police and I'll conference you.
Okay.
Police 911 emergency.
Hi, my name is Orlando. I'm calling from OnStar. I have a subscriber on our line whose vehicle was vandalized. Now, conference her in that way. You can get more information from her.
Thanks a lot.
Hello, Mrs. Noble. I do have police on the line.
Hi, Mrs. Noble. What happened?
Well, I parked the car at the intersection of Ordway.
OnStar is available on the Saturn View, Ion, and L series. To learn more, visit your Saturn retailer or Saturn.com.
Was there anything else I can do for you at this time, Mrs. Noble?
I just love you so much. I can't even believe how many times I've been thankful for OnStar.
If you need any more assistance from us, just go ahead and give us a call.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the i.e. America Radio Network.
Well, if you're one of the
million who own one of them gas-cranking, piston-clanking, air-polluting, smoke-belching four-wheel buggies from Detroit City, then pay attention. I'm about to sing your song, son. Set me a few choice words. All about that demon automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I am sitting here looking at a photograph. And let me be on the record, by the way, as saying I'm not opposed to the automobiles of Henry Ford, although I think that it would be a fine thing if they made them a little more gas efficient. And that's coming, I am sure, as prices for fuel go up, as they are, and as they will continue to. I am looking right now at a photograph that is on the About.org of the 1900s site. They have a photo library there. And this is Lyndon Johnson on July 31st, 1968. It's a picture of him in a meeting room in the White House. A candid photo that was taken after he had just finished listening to an audio tape. In fact, the tape recorder sitting right in front of him, sent to him by Captain Charles Robb, the man who would ultimately become his son-in-law, from Vietnam. And LBJ is leaned over in the chair, one hand holding his glasses and holding up the top half of his body, leaning on the chair next to him, and his face partly obscured by his other hand, as he sobs. LBJ sobbing, crying in the White House as he realizes what he has done. And, of course, then he decided that he was not going to run for re-election. A little different from,
bring them on, boys, bring them on.
How many Americans have died in Iraq since Shrub said that? I know it's well over 60. We had in Vermont here yesterday the funeral of the fourth citizen of Vermont to die in Iraq. Now, I remember when we first moved to Vermont 7 or 8 years ago, that year there was a murder. And for 3 weeks, it was on the headlines of the newspaper. I remember the second year we were here, there was another huge crime in the state. This guy, this trial went on for 3 weeks. It was on the front page of the paper every day. Pictures of this guy, humiliated his family. I mean, they sent this guy to prison because he had diluted maple syrup and sold it. He had added sugar and water to it and sold it. And this guy got nailed. I mean, you know, it was a large operation. He did it with thousands of gallons. And, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, we don't lose many people here in Vermont. The population of the entire state is 600,000 people. I live in a town of 9,000 people. And we just buried our fourth young man to die in Iraq. And Jim Jeffords was there at the funeral. And he said that he had personally intervened with the military to get this guy into the Army because he wanted to get in and he had some sort of a medical problem. And Jeffords intervened and he got in and then he died. And Jeffords said, he was on the radio this morning talking about this here locally, and he said that he still felt good that he helped this young man achieve his dream of joining the military, but that he questioned whether we needed to be in Iraq and whether this young man died for his country as he would have wanted to. This is such a tragedy. Are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair, here and around the world? Here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament?
How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A company-imposed deadline came and went, but contract talks between Goodyear Tire and Rubber and the United Steelworkers of America keep dragging on. The Steelworkers Union thinks Goodyear wants to close four of its 14 U.S. plants and wants the company to guarantee the security of its workers. But Goodyear is pleading poverty, saying that unless it has the flexibility to move jobs overseas, it may have to enter into bankruptcy. 20,000 workers in 11 states have gone since mid-April without a labor contract.
More than 3,000 clerical, maintenance, and food service workers at the University of Minnesota are taking strike votes to express their displeasure with the status of contract talks with the state. A budget crunch has the university planning to freeze everyone's pay for a year and raise health insurance premiums, a move which two unions, Teamsters Local 320 and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 3800, say is tantamount to a pay cut. The 1,300 Teamsters members are in the middle of their strike vote. The AFSCME local and its 1,800 members will start balloting on August 27th.
Another shooting death of a journalist in Iraq. 43-year-old Palestinian Mazen Dana was shot dead by U.S. troops Sunday as he filmed troop movements for the Reuters news agency on the outskirts of Baghdad. While U.S. Central Command says the shooting was a regrettable error, many of Dana's fellow journalists question that statement, saying the troops knew there were journalists in the area at the time of the shooting. Both Reporters Without Borders and the Committee to Protect Journalists are calling for a full investigation. Since the start of the invasion and occupation, 17 foreign journalists have been killed while covering the conflict. Two others are missing and presumed dead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair in the United States and around the world? Let's keep in mind that a large part of the reason why we're in Iraq is because back before 9/11, in fact, back in 1998, the Project for a New American Century with Dick Cheney and Jeb Bush and Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle, all of these guys were saying to Clinton back then, the United States depends on oil. The Middle East is a vital territory because it's where so much of the planet's oil is located, and it's the gateway to the Stan countries north of it, where so much more of the world's oil is located. We've got to secure that area. We need to invade Iraq immediately, followed by Syria and Iran, to secure and stabilize those oil supplies. Now, we tried that back in the 20s and 30s. The British tried that back before World War II, and then we tried it again in the 1950s in Iran. And Bill Clinton, you know, looked at them and said, what, are you guys nuts? I mean, you want to destroy American foreign policy. That's how to do it. And they were like, no, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And so we find that before 9/11, as we just discovered with this lawsuit by judicialwatch.org, before 9/11, Dick Cheney and Ken Lay and his good buddies in the oil industry, and we're going to get to one of them in just a minute, were sitting around in the White House or in nearby environs and carving up Iraq. They had a list of potential buyers for Iraqi oil. For this oil field, we'll give it to this company. And this company over here, and would like the... There was three columns on this sheet that was released in this lawsuit against Dick Cheney for his secret energy meeting. The first column was the name of the oil field. There's about 70 or 80 of them that have names around Iraq. The second column was the country that may have an interest in that oil field. And the third column was the name of the company or companies. Some of the countries had many companies that might be interested in the oil in that oil field. They were putting together a buyer's list in 1991. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and I believe it's Ben in Illinois is on the line.
Well, hello there. That was quick.
Hey. Is this Ben?
Yes.
Did I say it right? Okay, great. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You know, this mystery illness that the soldiers are dying from, I've been looking at all the reports that I've been able to find on exactly what the symptoms are.
Uh-huh.
It all sounds like bone marrow collapse caused by radiation poisoning.
Yeah, that was my first take on it, too. Also, the kidney failure part of it, which is
right.
the toxicity not from radiation, but of uranium itself.
Correct.
Uranium causes kidney failure.
This is Chernobyl syndrome, what we're seeing here. A lot of people that were really near Chernobyl died just like this.
Right, and so many of them were put on dialysis just before they died, and you don't put somebody with pneumonia on dialysis.
Nope.
And, is this Ben of WhiteRoseSociety.org?
That's me.
Hey, Ben, I love your site. Thank you so much for archiving our program there.
No problem.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing, and I'm surprised, frankly, that the media, you know, they handled this story for a day or two and then just let go of it like it was a hot potato. And I would bet you that the U.S. Army or the intelligence services or whatever somehow has clamped down on this thing and said to the media, this is a national security issue. We can't be talking about this. There may be some germ warfare involved here or something like that. And if you reveal information about this, you might help the enemy. And really what they're trying to do is cover up the fact that we're poisoning our own troops.
I think that's exactly correct. You know, I read a very chilling account years ago of what happened to the men who made, you know, the machinists who had to mill the uranium and plutonium bits for Stalin's bomb. Mm-hmm. What Stalin would do is he'd put these people to work in their, you know, take a machinist, put them to work. A day and a half or so later, they'd collapse at their machines. He would take them out, put them on a truck. They would be driven to a mine shaft where, dead or alive, they were just dumped out the back of the truck down the mine shaft. And that's how the bodies of these men were disposed of. But they died in the same fashion that our soldiers are dying.
Of bone marrow, what looks like pneumonia and then turns into kidney failure.
Yeah, acute bone marrow collapse is caused by extreme radiation dose.
Yeah, amazing. Ben, thanks for the information. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you sharing that with us. This is something that we need to return to. We need to go back to. And unfortunately, there's just been an absolute media blackout on this. First Energy Corporation, the fourth largest investor-owned utility in America, apparently is the place where this thing started. This blackout in the northeast, and it turns out that these guys are Bush buddies. And I've got a pile of interesting information on this. And this comes right out of the same energy policy that brought us the invasion of Iraq. We need to go into Iraq to get the oil. We need to get the oil because we're not going to promote conservation. We're not going to promote conservation because it's not profitable for our oil companies. And then the oil companies or the energy companies here, turns out that they're giving millions and millions of dollars to this administration. In fact, $3.9 million in the last election. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ruth in Florida is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Ruth.
Hey, how you doing?
I am well. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm listening to you, and I did have one brief comment about what the gentleman was talking about before, and that was I'm a veteran of the military, so is a lot of the people in my family, my daughter. My daughter ended up getting medically discharged, and the process takes months. It just takes months and months and months to get a medical discharge. It does not happen overnight. Unless you're one of the guys that came down with this quote-unquote pneumonia, who apparently received a military discharge. This is his last name starts with N, and I don't remember how to pronounce it. It was an unusual name. But he had written his family that he was on a hauling mission. He was getting sent on a hauling mission. And this was like on the 26th of June, I believe. By the 30th, he was in Germany dying. And his parents were notified that he had gotten sick and he was going to Germany. But they were told by the military that because he had been medically discharged, he got a medical discharge in the space of 24 hours. Once he received this discharge, his parents were told that the military could not help them get to Germany where he was. And this is the gentleman went to, I guess his co-workers came up with the money immediately. A congressman helped them get passports, and they made it over there. The boy never recovered consciousness, never had a chance to talk to them. He died within a few days of a total system breakdown. And while the father was there in the hospital, he overheard some of the medical personnel saying that they were expecting upwards of 55 more people with this. And the doctor at the time, whenever he spoke to the parents about the condition, never once referred to it as pneumonia. He referred to it as a toxin. Now, of course, you're not hearing anything about this. But
nothing
to me,
whatsoever.
One of the biggest flags, about red flags of the whole thing, was just a medical discharge in 24 hours. It just does not happen. It is just so outrageous. And to be sick in a military hospital and receive a medical discharge
is wrong.
Unless you've been in the military, you don't know how absurd that is.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah.
you've been in, that sets up so many red flags that it's just beyond belief. It's just, you know. And even that wasn't why I called you.
Okay.
I know. I was reading the Atlanta Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning. I was reading an editorial, and they were talking about should we stay in Iraq by ourselves or should we get help. And they had one editorial that said we should get help. And then they had an Equal Time editorial from some gentleman named, his last name is Gerecht, and he is with, of course, the American Enterprise Institute, or the American Fascist right. Club, as I like to call them. And one of the things that just absolutely boggled my mind was in this response saying that we should stay in Iraq is, I'm going to read this one real quick thing. Quote, it probably would encourage the worst political and cultural tendencies among Iraqis, even among those who are profoundly pro-Western, if we got help. It could easily send a signal throughout the Middle East and beyond that the Bush administration doesn't have the stomach to transform Iraq, let alone the region. End quote.
Oh. It's
so
it,
I mean I
this
and
is
I
a bizarre
those
mentality.
Slips of the tongue that I don't think they think many people are going to catch. We don't just have plans on Iraq. Mm-hmm. We have plans on the entire region.
Well, that's been the position ever since the very beginning.
Of course it has. In the late in the early 80s I was in the Navy. I was in the reserves and I was at Coronado Air Station in San Diego. And I took part in a meeting. I was there primarily as a secretarial-type person with a bunch of officers. I was not officers. The entire thrust of this meeting was what the Naval Reserves would do if anybody in the Indian Ocean, Persian Gulf area, anywhere, tried to cut off our sea lanes to get the oil that we need to keep our ships going. Because all our Navy ships, unless they're nukes, can only go for about 3 days without a refueling.
Oh, yeah, and we have huge contingency plans around this, as Japan did. I mean, it was cutting off Japan's access to Indian Ocean oil that provoked them back in 1941 to bomb Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. This is the classic definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior, even if it doesn't work.
Yep. Good point, Ruth. Thank you. Thank you for the call, and I appreciate your comments and sharing that with us. I absolutely agree. We need to be looking at ways to save our energy rather than increasing our addiction to Middle Eastern oil. Ed in Seattle, I believe it's Seattle, is on the line. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Ed. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, thank you, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. Was it Seattle?
Beg your pardon?
Did I write that down right? Is it Seattle?
Oh, yeah, Seattle.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Ed?
I just want to say thank you for bringing passion to the show here, as you always do. And I'm able to listen out here. It is thoroughly maddening to see what's going on in this administration. First and foremost, I'm African-American. I'm a former Marine. So I hate seeing what my brothers and sisters are going through over there.
Yeah.
Iraq and also in Afghanistan, with not getting the support they need. I totally feel that Ms. Condoleezza Rice and Mr. Powell are just what Mr. Harry Belafonte called them, Uncle Tom, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody can have their own individual personal feelings, but as far as I'm concerned with our people, they're straight-up Uncle Toms. To come on to the United Nations and on TV, tell that tremendous lie about how we were threatened and America being in danger, that's bull. And for one like me that know what the trenches are like, knowing that your life is on the line, and I wouldn't mind giving my life for my country one bit. I have 5 sons, but I'd be damned if I let them go into the military up under a dictatorship like George Bush and this administration. And
there you go, Ed.
As far as I'm concerned, if someone could let some of these Democratic politicians know the information that a lot of us know that these politicians are not bringing up when they go out campaigning, they need to be passionate about it, bring out the life, and call the press what they are, lapdogs. And get it going, because if we don't, we're going to have 4 more years of this. And Lord knows where the rest of us are going to be, Tom. Thank you for letting me say my piece.
Hi. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate you sharing that with us. The top 2 executives of First Energy, this is the company that crashed the power grid, the Ohio-based utility that is a focus of investigations, are key financial supporters of President Bush, according to campaign records. H. Peter Berg, chairman and chief executive, was one of 3 hosts of a $600,000 fundraiser for Bush's reelection campaign. Reelection. This is a new fundraiser in Akron, Ohio. Of course, he wasn't ever elected the first time, but they call it re-election. On June 30th, this was just a couple of months ago, $600,000 this guy raised for Bush. Vice President Cheney was the chief featured speaker. Anthony J. Alexander, First Energy's president and chief operating officer, was a pioneer. One of Bush's, for Bush's last campaign, meant he raised at least $100,000. He also contributed $100,000 to the inaugural committee for the inaugural ball. And this industry donated $3.6 million to the Bush campaign, and First Energy executives contributed $50,000 to Bush's last campaign. When Bush was Texas governor, employees of the now-collapsed Enron Corporation, the energy trading company, were his most generous career patrons. This I'm reading from the Washington Post. Utility officers gave to Bush, today's newspaper. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Jim in Mississippi is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Jim?
Very good. I have a friend of mine who's a lieutenant colonel in the Army, been in the Army about 25 years. I don't know if you know that there is what is called a stop loss that has been implemented in the military, and that's preventing people from leaving the military whenever their time is up. They've done this, and in conjunction with
based on troop strength,
extending their time to 1 year over there. Now, one of the things that he was telling me, he's home on emergency leave, his mother's sick, and we were talking the other week, and he said that what we are hearing in the news is totally bogus. He said people are being sniped driving down the road in their open-top Jeeps and their Hummers and things. They're being sniped from buildings. And there's hundreds of these people that have been shot and bombed and whatever. But the reporters, as we're hearing it on Fox and whatever, they're lumping all this in like there was an attack and five people were shot or killed or whatever. He said that there's 30, 40 attacks going on every day.
Yeah, and the only ones we're really hearing about are the ones where somebody gets killed, because they just can't cover that up because they got a body bag coming back.
Exactly. And also, I heard you mentioning or talking a moment ago about the depleted
uranium.
Jim,
we got about 10 seconds here.
Okay, can I hold?
No, if you wish, yeah, sure.
Okay.
If it's important. Actually, it turns out we got about 30 seconds if you want to fill that up.
You were talking about depleted uranium a moment ago. There was a report that came out a couple of months ago about some troops that had gone into a building that had been bombed by us, and they came out with uranium poisoning, and that was shut down immediately in the media. And the military shut that down, according to my friend, who is also retiring. He's had the military. And he said that the troops over there are just absolutely beside themselves with this administration. They are
furious. I am sure. This is a scandal that's going to echo. It is going to wipe out anything we've ever seen. Jim, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hardman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Tom Hartman Show.
computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Here they come again. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We were young with all of our might. Catch us if you
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and Louise was just saying, you know, it's amazing how little we're hearing from our callers all the time about people in Iraq, you know, who are on, you know, talking to relatives and friends, and who are saying, you know, they're not telling the story in the news. Why? But when they did try, when a couple of those guys talked to, what was it, ABC, now they're being prosecuted. The word has gone out to the troops. If you speak ill of the military, you talk about these issues, you will go to jail. You will lose your benefits, your family, and there's just this giant clam up. Kodiak in Tempe is on the line. Kodiak, thanks so much for waiting so long. 1-800-TALK, yes, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yes, Tom. I really don't know where to begin. I like a lot of callers applaud your passion, and not just the passion of you, but also the callers that call in.
I agree.
The IE America program, they're informed, and they also provide us with an insight that sometimes we can't get anywhere else other than these types of formats.
Yeah.
But I, as you know, I'm an over-the-road trucker.
Yep.
And I visit some of the bases here in the United States. And one thing I think the American public failed to keep in their mind is just how young these men and women are.
How what?
How young.
Oh, how young, yes.
As men and women are that are serving in the military. It just breaks my heart when I think about these guys at the, you know, at the point of their life in which it's really at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. I have three kids who are all older than the average age of enlistment. I mean,
And back to the story of the day, this depleted uranium, I guess it's also one of the reasons why the United States does not want the UN or any other nations involved in the process of reconstructing Iraq. And we know that the news media knows about this story because right after the bombing, they were out with their own Geiger counters, measuring the amount of uranium in bombed-out vehicles there in Iraq.
Yeah, it's a mess, Kodiak. Kodiak, that music means that we've come up against the end of the program hour here. Thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it, and thank you again for holding so long to make your point. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America radio program. And Ed in Ohio, hang on the line. We'll take your call after the top of the hour. Are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair? Hopefully not. We can change things. Stick around.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Now, at least 13 people are being reported dead and dozens more injured following an apparent truck bombing at the United Nations headquarters in Baghdad. The UN Security Council is already condemning the attack on its main post in Iraq. Spokesman Danilo Turk said the organization is shocked it would be targeted for violence in Iraq, since its goal is to rebuild the nation in the wake of the war there.
The United Nations in Iraq is on a mission of peace and for the reconstruction of the country and to support the Iraqi people. Therefore, it is all the more shocking that this attack occurred.
The UN Special Representative to Iraq is reportedly among those most seriously wounded in the blast. He's said to be being treated within the rubble still. The BBC says the explosion ripped through the headquarters just as a news conference was about to take place. The British Prime Minister's chief spin doctor, Alistair Campbell, is testifying before the inquiry into the death of a government advisor recently. The role of Downing Street's director of communications in preparing last September's dossier on intelligence against Iraq is coming under increasing scrutiny. And correspondent Suzanne Chislett says the inquiry appears to be already damaging Prime Minister Tony Blair's political credibility.
A new opinion poll carried out after the first week of hearings at the inquiry into the death of Dr. David Kelly makes grim reading for the British government. It says just 6% of the electorate trust ministers more than the BBC, whose report into the dossier on Iraqi weapons sparked the controversy. Half of all voters quizzed believe the government deliberately embellished the report on chemical and biological stocks in Iraq in an attempt to make the case for war stronger, while 68% believe the government's treatment of Dr. Kelly was unfair. He committed suicide after being named as the source of the BBC report. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And the military says that two American soldiers were wounded today by a rocket-propelled grenade and gun attack in Iraq. The convoy reportedly came under fire near the town of Balad. One American soldier was also reported killed in yet another RPG attack, this one in the town of Ramadi.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Feeling. Whoa, 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 feeling. Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A U.S. district judge in Los Angeles is expected to rule tomorrow on a lawsuit from the ACLU aimed at delaying the recall vote on California Governor Gray Davis. Civil liberties groups challenging the state's use of punch card voting machines. Attorney General John Ashcroft's hitting the road this week, trying to drum up more support for the USA Patriot Act and a possible sequel to the controversial legislation. He's speaking in defense of the so-called anti-terrorism legislation, giving law enforcement expanded power to identify, track, and apprehend suspects. That legislation has drawn criticism from human rights groups around the globe.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Iran's supreme leader says his country won't give up its nuclear energy program under international pressure. The International Atomic Energy Agency wants stricter inspections of the nuclear sites there amid accusations Tehran's pursuing nuclear weapons. Iran, though, says its nuclear energy program is purely peaceful. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi has more.
Iran's supreme leader has said Tehran will not give up its nuclear technology despite pressure by the U.S. and certain Western countries. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei called those countries' position unsuitable, unjust, and oppressive. He also said his country will never use weapons of mass destruction. Tehran has said it's still discussing with the UN's nuclear watchdog whether to allow stricter inspections of its nuclear facilities. The country's foreign ministry spokesman has also warned Israel against any military attacks on its nuclear sites. Hamid Reza Asefi was responding to a question by a journalist who said Israel had recently raised the issue with President Bush. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready! Take aim and fire! No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system. On channel stream 145, standard equipment now on Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, and Infiniti, and Jaguar cars and trucks from Freightliner and Sterling. And also broadcasting live on the internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and other internet radio stations with archives at whiterosesociety.org. And just wrapping up from our last hour where we were asking, are the failed policies of the conservatives harming freedom and democracy beyond repair? We still have Ed on the line from Ohio. Ed, thanks for holding on over that long break,
no problem.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. I just wanted to briefly mention that there was something in the water the other day that George Bush was drinking because he actually used a multisyllabic word, infrastructure. He was talking about how we need to modernize the infrastructure and the power grid. And I heard immediately a lot of discussion about how the public is going to pay for this.
Right.
You know, is it going to be paid for through, you know, tax money, or is it going to be paid for through, you know, higher rates? But they deregulated all the energy. I'm in Ohio. And and immediately after California's deregulation turned out to be a miserable failure, our state legislature decided to go ahead and follow them into the pit anyway, which is part of the reason why this happened.
Well, I can tell you who's not going to pay for it, Ed. H. Peter Berg, chairman and CEO.
That's what I'm leading up to. The point is that you know, these people are unregulated activity and profits. They want all of the freedom, but they don't want any of the responsibility.
Right.
And
these guys who raised $600,000
for that instead.
Yeah, these guys who raised $600,000 for Bush, $3.9 million for these guys with
they're going to make a lot more than $600,000 off of this.
They're going to make a fortune on this thing, and it's going to come out of your pocket and mine. And they're not going to their salaries aren't going to bump by for a second, and they're going to continue pumping money into the Bush campaign.
And I think that Bush is a traitor. I think all these people are disloyal to America. They're injuring our country for the sake of private profit. It's everything that Roosevelt said that you in your quote. The sooner we get rid of him, the better.
Through the electoral process, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ed, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure to add that so that the John Ashcroft and his friends don't knock on your door tomorrow. Quote for the day, the liberty of a democracy is not safe if the people tolerate the growth of private power to a point where it becomes stronger than their democratic state itself. That, in its essence, is fascism, said Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Ownership of government by an individual, by a group, or by any controlling power. I'm very honored today to have our question for the second hour. Moving along, as they say. Moving along, our question for the second hour, how can we mobilize and reform our intelligence services after all the destructive failures brought about by cynical conservative ideology? And I'm very pleased and honored to have on the line today one of the leading intelligence analysts, one of the more famous spies in American history. Not only was Robert David Steele a real live, genuine spook of the James Bond variety for many years, undercover, out there doing the work, but he also came back in. He was a former Marine. He came to the U.S. Marine Corps, brought him in to create their intelligence command. The U.S. Marine, you've heard about the Defense Intelligence Agency. Each branch of the military has their own intelligence service. And this guy, Robert David Steele, created the intelligence service for the United States Marine Corps. He's the founder of OSS.net on the Internet, the author or editor of three works on intelligence reform, including The New Craft of Intelligence, Personal, Public, and Political Citizens Action Handbook for Fighting Terrorism, Genocide, Disease, Toxic Bombs, and Corruption, which I happen to be holding in my hand, an extraordinary book, The New Craft of Intelligence, Robert David Steele. Mr. Steele, welcome to the program today.
Oh, glad to be here.
Do you prefer to be called Robert or Bob or
Robert
Mr.
is good. Bob
Robert,
was a
okay.
cowboy in an old movie.
Yeah, okay, got it. Robert, thank you very much. I have spent some time with your book. First of all, apropos of not where I want to go with this, but I just have to share with our listeners these three quotes that you open page 77 with. These are called I've lost the word now. Epigraphs, these things that you open a chapter with. The first is a quote from John Heidenreich. He says, genocide, the deliberate destruction, usually through mass murder of an ethnic, racial, or religious group, is the ultimate crime against humanity. The second is, the third is from the United Nations. The magnitude of human suffering constitutes a threat to peace and security. And then you've got a quote from George W. Bush. We should not send our troops to stop ethnic cleansing and genocide in nations outside our strategic interest. And it was just a shocking juxtaposition to me. And in the book, you talk about how we can rebuild our intelligence service and how we can rebuild the United States' security, our actual security, and that one of those issues has to do with, and there was just a great quote here in this book. You said, terrorism will not disappear without both, this on page 100, a focused strategy hunting down existing terrorists one by one and a global campaign to bring prosperity to the rest of the world before its peoples become immigrants, refugees, or pensioners of the West. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, you know, people have this misperception of Bush as being strong on security. Mm. You know, that's like saying a muscle-bound idiot is strong on security. Bush has said on the record that he doesn't do nuances. Well, I have a news flash for him. The world is about nuances. We have a complex system that interacts in very complicated ways, and if you're not nurturing prosperity and dealing with water scarcity and disease and crime and all these other things, what you're going to have is a massive migration of people toward Russia, Europe, and the United States and Australia. You now have a Haitian version of a boat lift going from Indonesia to Australia. And at the same time, you're going to nurture terrorism, because these yeah. people are going to see that the United States is taking more than its fair share. We're already, there's a wonderful book out there, and I encourage everybody to go to Amazon and just read the reviews, even if you don't buy the books. But there's a book out there called Why People Hate America. And so from my point of view, we have to have a national security strategy that does three things. It has to have a home front that is very strong, which means a critical infrastructure that doesn't fail through corporate corruption and deregulation, a public health system that can stop both deliberate as well as accidental epidemics, and finally, an educated citizenry. Thomas Jefferson said a nation's best defense is an educated citizenry. Well, since the 60s, our citizens have dropped out and basically become drones, and we need to get everybody back into this. That's the first part. The second part is a well-balanced national security structure that is capable of taking on a conventional state enemy, if one should emerge, such as North Korea or whatever. But that's only half of the funding. The other three items that we need, which we don't have today, we need a very robust small war and almost constabulary gendarme, which is to say we need to be able to hunt people down and kill them one by one in those instances where they're ready to do things like 9/11.
Right.
And then you have to have, so I'll finish here quickly, you have to have at least $100 billion a year for what I call peace operations. Colin Powell is a very good person who has been hamstrung. He's got no budget. He's got no staff. He's got no diplomats. He's become a front and a messenger for some really loony right-wing extremists. And last but not least, Homeland Security, in the sense that we have to create at the state and local level intelligence and counterintelligence capabilities that allow them to deal with their own security without relying on a very arrogant and largely incompetent FBI.
That's quite a laundry list there. We're talking with Robert David Steele, the author of The New Craft of Intelligence, one of America's most famous, most competent, most brilliant spooks. And
there are people that would disagree with you.
Okay, I'm sure. But I think.
How about just most outspoken?
There you go. Okay. If you'd like to be on the program today and speak with Robert, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. There are three very provocative concepts that you put forward in your book that I found enlightening, and one of them actually a little startling. And the one that I thought was the most startling, frankly, was the idea that the whole notion of closed intelligence, that is, we gather information and we keep it secret from everybody within our own nation, is not as productive. I started to say as old or outmoded, but I think probably a better way of saying it is simply not as productive as the idea of what you call open intelligence. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, having been a spy and helped steal code books and dealt with classified imagery, I finally realized when I did my second graduate thesis, I looked at all of the information that was available in the embassies in which I'd served, and I looked at then what was the outcome, what actually became available to the president through processed intelligence. And I was really shocked to discover that your average embassy is collecting less than 10 to 15% of what's actually available legally and ethically for the following three reasons. Number one, State Department officers who are supposed to be collecting open source information have no money. They're in a minority in their own embassies, and they're limited by the physics of a 24-hour day. Which is to say they can only get whatever it is that people are willing to give them for free during pre-planned meetings. They can't commission, for example, expert studies from well-known journalists or other authorities.
Right.
The second problem that I discovered was that the spies will only talk to people who agree to commit treason as a condition for receiving money from the Americans.
Right,
so right off,
automatically pre-corrupted information.
Well, I'm not saying it's corrupted information. I mean, we've gotten some very good information. I mean, don't mistake me for a spy basher. I just want spies to be put in their place and properly used. But basically, the spies have a very, very narrow subset. And in fact, a very smart man who wrote Real World Intelligence, he worked for Bill Casey, said one time, Herb Myers said in the book by Persico on Casey, says, you know, these spies are in another world. They only believe in the information they can steal. Yeah. Now, those of you that are familiar with just what you can get through Google and the Internet and everywhere and through legal and ethical direct conversations on the street will understand just how lunatic that is.
Right. It's a
but
whole different
world. The third problem.
Hang on just a second, Robert. I've got to pause you there because we're coming up on a break here. And we're speaking with Robert David Steele. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Pablo in Santa Fe, if you hold the line until after this break, we'll bring your call in. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The free in free markets is not an adjective, it's a verb. We must diligently work to free the market of conniving monopolists who try to lock it down and rule like autocrats. A century ago, robber barons like Rockefeller and Carnegie used their riches to put a chokehold on commerce, buying off governments and media while crushing competitors, workers, and entire communities. The monopolist is a brute. And that's why the populists and finally the Democrats and even trust-busting Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt responded to grassroots demands to free the market using such tools as anti-monopoly laws, labor reforms, and small business protections. But monopoly continues to rear its ugly head. Today, there's a new brute on the block, exerting more power over America's economy than the robber barons could dream of. It is Walmart. Behind the aw shucks, smiley-faced demeanor portrayed in its ads, this giant is now not merely the largest corporation in the world, but the dominating economic power in our country, able to use its brute financial clout to monopolize practically any market it bulls into. Its monopoly exists because, first, it has grabbed a chokehold on the retail supply chain, able to dictate its price to the thousands of manufacturers that put products in its stores, even compelling these companies to lower their wages or to move their manufacturing to China. Second, Walmart doesn't play fair in the local market. When it moves into your community, it can drop its prices and lose money for months without affecting its overall profits, for it has thousands of stores. Your local hardware, grocery, pharmacy, and others can't do that.
so they are crushed. Not by Walmart's work ethic or efficiency, but by its brute monopoly force. This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart shrinks our economy, destroys middle-class wages, changes the face of our communities, and erodes America's values. It's time to free the market again.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We're speaking with Robert David Steele, author of The New Craft of Intelligence, and Pablo in Santa Fe is on the line. Pablo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Pablo, how are you?
Fine. I had a question for your guest. Does he feel that Donald Rumsfeld, head of the Defense Department, has hijacked some of the traditional responsibilities of the State Department and the CIA, and that he's kind of this big power grab has gone on there? And I was just wondering if what his inside sources, as far as intelligence people, what they feel about Rumsfeld.
Thank you, Pablo. Robert?
I think Rumsfeld is a happy grandfather front for Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney. I believe that a small group, which are proud to call themselves the Cabal, of ideologically based neoconservatives have not only hijacked U.S. defense and foreign policy, but they have committed crimes. They have blown CIA operations. They have undermined CIA successes with Syria. They have wasted, they're now wasting $6 billion a month of the taxpayers' hard-earned dollar, and they have, in essence, overturned 50 years of progress with respect to multinational efforts to stabilize the world.
Yeah. Pablo, thanks for the question. I appreciate your calling in. Robert, one of the folks in our chat room, and our listeners can get to the chat room if they want by just going to liberaltalkradio.com or tomhartmanshow.com and clicking on the link to the chat room. And when you get into the trade forum there, just drop click the chat link. Anyhow, one of the folks in the chat room says, I don't buy the idea that we need a spy agency. Why didn't the CIA predict the fall of communism or predict what would happen in Iran in the late 1970s or prevent 9/11 or find Osama? Spy agencies are just expensive, corrupt tools ripe for abuse. Response?
Well, there's a two-part answer to that question. The first is that intelligence and spying are not the same things. Nowhere is it written that intelligence, which is the distilled result of the proven process of intelligence, which is get your question right, know who knows, do collection management, validate individual sources, merge sources in an intelligent way, and then make compelling presentations so even a moron can understand what the threat is. That doesn't require secrets. In fact, 95% of what you need to know about the rest of the world can be done using only legal and ethical open sources. But here's the problem. In the World War II, the intelligence service was completely shut out. It was very deliberately undermined. Amy Ziegart has a wonderful book called Flawed by Design on the origin of CIA, JCS, and NSC. And the bottom line is that the original CIA found that the only area where it could kind of play without being constrained by the other bigger boys was in clandestine operations. And so it went pell-mell into an area where people like David Korn and Evan Thomas have written wonderful books showing basically that Ivy League-educated white boys suck at clandestine ops in the Third World. They're not good at it. And we gave up everything else. For example, just a year ago, we were hired to look at terrorist websites. And inside of 60 days, for under $60,000, we identified 396 terrorist, insurgent, and opposition websites working in 29 languages. And that's the problem. Today, the CIA, the State Department, the U.S. government is operating on roughly 2 to 5% of the relevant available information overseas. Because okay. they are pardon, so
pardon
dependent.
Pardon my interrupting you. We're speaking with Robert David Steele. Please hang on during the break here, Robert, if you will. Our question, can we mobilize and reform our intelligence services after all the destructive failures brought about by cynical conservative ideology? You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Another summer brings another fight between a virus and a popular sport fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. 7 years ago this summer, a lot of largemouth bass went belly up in a reservoir in South Carolina. 1,000 fish died, and the killer turned out to be a virus that was previously unknown to scientists. The pathogen has spread to 17 states in the South, Southeast, and Midwest. It's now known as the largemouth bass virus. It kills the fish by attacking their swim bladders, an organ that controls their buoyancy. Tony Goldberg is an epidemiologist at the University of Illinois who studies the virus. He says scientists aren't sure if it will continue to spread, but he says anglers can help limit its impact.
The most important thing is to avoid moving this virus around the landscape. So anglers should never release bass into a water body other than the water body where they've caught the bass. They should always clean out their live wells and their bilges and clean off their boats between water bodies.
Goldberg says the virus seems most deadly when bass are stressed by other conditions. That can be contaminated water, unusually warm water, or excessive handling by anglers. Goldberg says the good news is that this virus harms only largemouth bass. It apparently does nothing to other fish or to anglers.
This virus is not transmissible to people, so bass that are infected are perfectly safe to handle and eat.
Goldberg says scientists are trying to figure out where the largemouth bass virus came from. He says it might have been brought to the U.S. with aquarium fish from Asia. On the other hand, it might have always been here, unnoticed and unnamed until recently. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hold on tight to your dream. Hey, hold on tight.
right. Hold on tight to your dreams. A great advice there. How can we mobilize and how can we recapture the dream of a democratic America? How can we come back to the dream of a world at peace? Is it possible? Is it rational? Is it reasonable? Is it something we can do? If you've got questions for Robert David Steele, our guest this hour, the author of The New Craft of Intelligence, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And, Robert, I don't recall if you had wrapped up your answer to that last question, and I think there might have been a piece hanging from the one before the previous break.
Well, I can wrap up the answer to both the last question and the one where I got cut off on the third thing. Okay. What it boils down to is we have to create smart nations. And what you'll find in the 13th chapter of the third book, which I edited on peacekeeping intelligence, emerging concepts of the future, in 1994, I came up with the concept of information peacekeeping. But what it boils down to is we need to turn intelligence into a public good. And a citizen should be able to go to the Internet, type in their zip code, select an issue such as disease, and in concentric circles, and you'll see this in the preface to that second book, The New Craft of Intelligence, in concentric circles squared by four, they should be able to see the history, the present, the immediate plans and the distant future for any issue by zip code, by county, by state, by nation, by region, or by globe. And then they should be able to go to meetup.com or click over to meetup.com and instantly be put together with like-minded people ready to do a flash mob on anything.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. And the other point that you wanted to wrap up?
Well, the bottom line here is the U.S. government is overinvested in a heavy metal military, and it is overinvested in secret spy satellites whose collection we do not process. We process less than 10% of what we collect. And this whole issue of processing is very, very important because secrecy has essentially constipated the government's mind, which is a very deliberate earthy analogy. We actually don't know very much. The FBI, for example, less than 80% of what the FBI knows is in digital form. As Special Agent Rowley pointed out just a year ago, the FBI is still doing data searches on that 20% one word at a time. This is abysmal. So we have a long way to go, and I think the way to go, and I think Howard Dean, to take one example, is the only person out there I can see that understands this stuff. The way to go is open source intelligence, open source software, open grid, open spectrum, open networked model of come-as-you-are surge intelligence and defense.
Yeah. Now, Howard Dean isn't the guy that the media has ever portrayed as being really smart on defense and intelligence issues. I mean, they tend to point out that as governor Vermont, I mean, Vermont was an independent nation at one point. In fact, George Washington actually pondered declaring war on Vermont and decided not to. It's interesting. There's a whole letter from George Washington to the sovereign of the president of Vermont at the time about that issue that's in our state archives just a few blocks from here. But I don't think that, you know, the way that Dean has been portrayed in the press is, well, you know, in a small state, what does he know about intelligence? And you seem to think that he does know something about
intelligence. Well, first off, let me point out the media is both stupid and unethical, with the exception of Cy Hirsch and a few other stars. I mean, if you look at the collapse of our institutions in the last few years, apart from the White House telling 62 documented lies leading up to the unjust war in Iraq, you have the collapse of the Catholic Church with child abuse and the victims are threatened with excommunication. You have the collapse of the New York Times, which has become nothing more than a glorified place for recycling press releases. You have the collapse of industry with Enron and WorldCom, and before that the savings and loan. We've collapsed. Now, I'll tell you what I think Dean does understand, and this is based only on my close following through the media and through other sources like the blogs, the Internet Blog for America, Greater Democracy, some really fine blogs. What Dean understands is it takes a nation to be smart. And the problem with the Bush administration is that, first off, his father, George I, deprived John McCain of the Republican nomination. I've been a Republican. I want to be a Republican, but I feel betrayed by the way in which John McCain was deprived of that nomination. And then we put in a lightweight president, and we surround him with his father's old pals. Well, I've come to the conclusion this country is too complicated to be run by one stupid white man and his best buddies. We have got to create a coalition government. We have got to reach out to the best of not only the Republicans, the moderate Republicans, and the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, but the independents, many of whom are associated with Vermont and with Washington State and Oregon. There are some really great people in Kansas and elsewhere, Iowa, New Hampshire, Greens, Libertarians, Reforms, and what I call the largest party in America, the most important party, which has to come back to the race, the dropouts. I think Howard Dean is capable of putting together a coalition that will be firmly in the center and that will be able to tap into or harness the distributed intelligence of the entire country.
Yeah. Well, that is wonderful to hear because, you know, our question for the hour, how can we mobilize and reform our intelligence services after all the destructive failures brought about by cynical conservative ideology?
They've also been destroyed by liberals. You know, one of the things you need to understand is that intelligence has not been appreciated by the government bureaucracy, regardless of the party in power. We are running on an industrial era model of government, not an information era model of government. And Al Gore and Bill Clinton tried in some ways with the National Performance Review to enhance government. We need to move toward a government that steers rather than rows. But right now the U.S. government is basically the Maginot Line of the 21st century. It is in a bunker. The Homeland Security Department is a joke. They have no money for linking their databases. They're 10 years away from being interoperable. And so when you're in a situation like that, when you can have a very rapid, complex meltdown, you don't try and institutionalize all these connections. What you do is you go with the open grid model so that people can merge and cluster and surge on a come-as-you-are basis.
Yeah, so it's time to set aside ideology and set aside the partisan wars and just say, let's clean this mess up.
Well, you know, intelligence is about knowing. And I believe that both Senator Boren, who's now the president of the University of Oklahoma, and David Broder from the other side have both said we need to internationalize American education. Let me give you a very specific example. Right now, George Bush is wasting the taxpayer dollar and at the same time alienating billions of Muslims over a year. I predict Afghanistan will fall to the Taliban by the 1st of December. The situation in Afghanistan is nothing short of abysmal. 80% of those people are out of water and food and medicine. The drug crop has doubled. The Taliban has opened a northern front. The U.S. has reneged on every single promise it made in Afghanistan. Now, let me tell you what George Bush is not telling you.
60 of our guys died last week, and
let me tell you what George Bush is not telling you. What he's not telling you is that there are 32 countries involved in complex declared emergencies. These are what are called failed states. He's not telling you that there are 66 countries with millions of refugees, all of whom are trying to get to Russia, Europe, the United States, or Australia. He's not telling you that people are starving to death in 33 countries around the world. He's not telling you that there are modern plagues in 59 countries, all of whom are sending people here by airplane. That's what he's not telling you. He's not telling you that water scarcity is a major issue worldwide, that there are 18 genocides going on today as we speak, including 2 in Russia and 3 in Indonesia. Now, he's also not telling you that his entire foreign policy is based on evangelical fiction. And he is basically selling out to the oil companies. He is selling out to the utility companies. He is not running America in favor of future generations. And I'm a daddy. I'm thinking about the future, and I go back to our Native American heritage, seventh-generation thinking. George Bush is thinking about his next political paycheck, not about where this country is going to be in 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, much less 7 generations.
Yeah, and it's a tragedy. You talk in your book. We're speaking with Robert David Steele. It's about 17 minutes before the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we're talking. And Robert is the author of the book, The New Craft of Intelligence. A former spy, the former head of or creator of the Marine Corps intelligence services, and in your book you talk about the 8 stages of genocide. And reading this, with the current coarsening of political discourse, particularly the painting of liberals as traitors and scoundrels by the extreme right, wouldn't the United States itself be in one of those stages? Maybe first we should quickly summarize what they are.
Well, no, I'd rather not. People can buy the book, and they can also go to genocide.com, which Dr. Greg Stanton created, or genocide.org. I think that's a much more appropriate thing to do. But I do want to point out that the major Democratic leaders in this country were assassinated in the 1960s. And I'm certainly not one to say that there's a conspiracy theory here. But we need to be cautious whenever a president, as George Bush has said, defines dissent as treason.
Well, and look at who got the anthrax letters.
Who got the what?
The anthrax letters. I mean, they were debating whether or not to pass the Patriot Act in the Senate, and Pat Leahy was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, or the head of the Judiciary Committee, excuse me, and he was opposed to this thing, and he's a Democrat, and he gets one of these anthrax letters, and his office gets shut down, and all of his papers are frozen. He can't see them, he can't go where they are, he can't touch them, and in the meantime, he still has to conduct the business of the Senate and pass this law, and he can't even see. And you know, it was mostly all Democrats who got these letters.
Well, you know, we have our own homegrown problems. I mean, I was one of the few people on television that got it right on the Oklahoma bombing, although I thought it was a disgruntled postal worker. But that was our own homegrown terrorist. But what we're not ready for is people blowing up electrical towers, as they did in El Salvador when I was there back in the 80s. This country is not ready for a leaderless resistance, which is the latest buzz phrase that is flying around both among American militants and among those who are seeking to put radical Muslims together with American militants in order to fragment the country and perhaps lead up to what one author has called the Nine Nations of North America. We are at a far more vulnerable state than I think most people realize, and the answer is not the Patriot Act. The answer is re-engaging your average American and getting every American engaged in the future of the country at the neighborhood level. That's not something George Bush is doing. He just wants your vote. He doesn't want your future.
What do you think is, given the reality is that we're in Iraq, whether we should have stepped into that particular swamp or not, we've got one foot, you know.
I think we absolutely should not have stepped into that swamp. I think Howard Dean was very, not only principled, but smart. From where I sit, Dean is about smart, strong security, not stupid, muscle-bound security. Look at what we did. First, we went into Iraq not realizing that the majority were pro-Iranian radicals. We went in there with these neoconservative ideological
Wait a second. How could we have not realized that when the
because
entire planet
these people,
knew?
Let me tell you something. Whenever I appear on Fox News, I get hate mail from Bible thumpers. And I've learned to ask them, how many books have you read in the last year? And they always say, I've only read one book, and it's called the Bible, and it tells me everything I need to know. Well, there is something called Christian Zionism that is becoming very dangerous because it is linking up with Jewish Zionism, and it is basically seeking to wipe out the Middle East and start over. And that is a prescription for major disaster. I guarantee
you realize even talking like that.
What's that?
You realize even talking like that, you run the risk of being called an anti-Semite.
Well, you know what? NPR Chicago no longer asks me to speak for them because of precisely that kind of informed observation. But I take great pleasure in the fact that right before my show ended, a distinguished Arab-American businessman called in and praised me for speaking the truth and for not being scared but what I regard as a Semitic backlash against anyone who's willing to question the Israeli myths. Now, I'm strong on Israel, but I will never forgive Israel for attacking the USS Liberty and killing American troops, knowing that it was a U.S. flagship on an unarmed intelligence collection mission.
Well, we were at the moment that happened, according to what's-his-name's new book about the NSA, we were monitoring Ariel Sharon murdering people secretly and burying
That's
them.
That's exactly right. And I think to bring this back to kind of middle-of-the-road balance thing, there is no such thing as absolute truth. The truth always depends on where you sit, where you stand, what your context is. And I think my problem with the national security strategy that we have now is it's based on evangelical fiction and ideological predisposition. It is not well informed, and I will not forgive the ideologists in the Pentagon for undermining CIA successful CIA operations with Syria and other countries. These guys want CIA to fail.
I just want to wrap this up, lest anybody have any misconceptions. I have spent a lot of time in Israel and other parts of the Middle East, and have a lot of connections to that country and to many people there. And there are many people who consider the policies of the current administration in Israel to be a mistake, and there are others who, in good faith, honorable people, who are saying, hey, they're attacking us, they're killing us, we've got to do something. And the situation doesn't boil down, in my mind anyway, to something simple like, oh, we should just do this or that.
Well, you know, see, look, part of the problem in Israel is it's about water. Okay. In fact, Chuck Spinney's done a wonderful brief on water. Just Google for Spinney water in Israel. But it's about water. And the United States has consistently refused to use its enormous wealth to actually get down to root causes. It costs $100 million to buy a water desalination plant capable of doing 100 million cubic meters of water a year to solve the water crisis in the Middle East. Now, you probably need two or three of these. Or you can spend $100 million on what General Smedley Butler calls war as a racket. And the United States has consistently chosen to spend its money on extremely complex weapon systems that don't always work as advertised and that are only useful 10% of the time, instead of spending its money on schools and public health and so on for the Palestinians as well as for the Israelis. Now, Israel gets 17% of its budget from the United States of America. I think we should continue that, but we should be giving an equivalent amount to the Palestinians, and we should be building a future generation. Because you know what? Both sides have forgotten how to live in peace with each other. The brain cells that remember peace.
And we need to help them wake up to that. Robert David Steele, we're speaking with, the author of The New Craft of Intelligence. Robert, stick around. I have one last question for you before the top of the hour. Talk radio for the rest of us. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Oh, sweetie, your first day of school. Let me get pictures of you in front of the building.
Capture back-to-school memories at Radio Shack with a super-thin Casio XLMS3 digital camera, just $349.99 with 3.2 megapixels, 4x digital zoom, and a docking station.
Mom, come on, it's my senior year.
Smile!
Plus, save $75 when you buy a digital camera and a photo printer.
Mom!
At Radio Shack, $50 from HP and $25 from Radio Shack, back by mail when you purchase a digital camera over $149.99 and an HP photo printer. Offer ends 8/24.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tic-tic.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights on IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bats.
The Tom
Hartman
Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We're just too stupid for democracy. Whoever thought majority should rule? I think we're just too stupid for democracy. Show me a mirror, I'll show you a fool. Think of the majority of people that you meet. Do you think that their opinions should be law? Well, if you're like the majority, you think the rest are nuts. Democracy reveals a fatal flaw.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Robert David Steele, the author of The New Craft of Intelligence. And, Robert, we just have a minute or two left here in the hour and in this program. And I noticed in your book you said that this failure of the Eastern power grid, or perhaps it was in an interview this failure of the Eastern power grid, while an accident, demonstrates that George Bush is not serious about homeland security. Let's leave this on a positive note. What would it take to be serious about making this country secure? What is your vision for a positive future for America, and how do we implement that in 2 minutes or less?
Well, let me point people at just three sources. The first, in case we get cut off or end, is my own website where everything is free, and that's
www.oss.net, right?
.oss.net. And that has book reviews and references. The second is a book by Marianne Williamson called Imagine, What America Could Be in the Future. And it's an absolute
I wrote stunning. A chapter in that book, Robert.
What's that?
I
well,
wrote a
good
chapter
for you,
in that
because
book.
It's an absolutely stunning book, and people need to read that book and understand the positive future. And the third book that I urge every American to read is by Paul Ray and Sherry Ruth Anderson called The Cultural Creatives, How 55 Million People Are Changing America. I believe that the Internet, Meetup.com, the Dean Movement has made it possible for people to take back the power. It has also made it possible for people to inform themselves. I just put out a call for readers for Dean to basically study up on every issue in every state and every county across America. And by God, we are going to be, he is going to be the best informed candidate, the best informed campaign, and the most in touch with reality that this country has ever seen.
Remarkable. Well, that's great news. Robert David Steele, The New Craft of Intelligence, www.oss.net is the website. I highly recommend the book. Check out the website. I think you'll find it fascinating. Robert, thank you very much for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you. This is Tom Hartman. We've been asking, how can we mobilize and reform our intelligence services after the destructive failures brought about by the cynical conservative ideology, this notion that we should even be privatizing our intelligence service, we should be privatizing our military, that all of this should just be put up for sale and handed over to private corporations. It's crazy. We have we need to be reforming our not just our systems and services, but also our philosophy and perspective in the world.
Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 to 9 Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Now at least 13 people are being reported dead and dozens more injured following an apparent truck bombing at the United Nations headquarters in Baghdad. The UN Security Council is already condemning the attack on its main post in Iraq. Spokesman Danilo Turk said the organization is shocked it would be targeted for violence in Iraq since its goal is to rebuild the nation in the wake of the war there.
The United Nations in Iraq is on a mission of peace and for the reconstruction of the country and to support the Iraqi people. Therefore, it is all the more shocking that this attack occurred.
The UN Special Representative to Iraq is reportedly among those most seriously wounded in the blast. He's said to be being treated within the rubble still. The BBC says the explosion ripped through the headquarters just as a news conference was about to take place. The British Prime Minister's chief spin doctor, Alistair Campbell, is testifying before the inquiry into the death of a government advisor recently. The role of Downing Street's director of communications in preparing last September's dossier on intelligence against Iraq is coming under increasing scrutiny. And correspondent Suzanne Chislett says the inquiry appears to be already damaged Prime Minister Tony Blair's political credibility.
A new opinion poll carried out after the first week of hearings at the inquiry into the death of Dr. David Kelly makes grim reading for the British government. It says just 6% of the electorate trust ministers more than the BBC, whose report into the dossier on Iraqi weapons sparked the controversy. Half of all voters quizzed believe the government deliberately embellished the report on chemical and biological stocks in Iraq in an attempt to make the case for war stronger, while 68% believe the government's treatment of Dr. Kelly was unfair. He committed suicide after being named as the source of the BBC report. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And the military says that two American soldiers were wounded today by a rocket-propelled grenade and gun attack in Iraq. The convoy reportedly came under fire near the town of Balad. One American soldier was also reported killed in yet another RPG attack, this one in the town of Ramadi.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all...
Feeling. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feeling.
Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A U.S. district judge in Los Angeles is expected to rule tomorrow on a lawsuit from the ACLU aimed at delaying the recall vote on California Governor Gray Davis, civil liberties groups challenging the state's use of punch card voting machines. Attorney General John Ashcroft's hitting the road this week, trying to drum up more support for the USA Patriot Act and a possible sequel to the controversial legislation. He's speaking in defense of the so-called anti-terrorism legislation, giving law enforcement expanded power to identify, track, and apprehend suspects. That legislation has drawn criticism from human rights groups around the globe.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Iran's supreme leader says his country won't give up its nuclear energy program under international pressure. The International Atomic Energy Agency wants stricter inspections of the nuclear sites there amid accusations Tehran's pursuing nuclear weapons. Iran, though, says its nuclear energy program is purely peaceful. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi has more.
Iran's supreme leader has said Tehran will not give up its nuclear technology despite pressure by the U.S. and certain Western countries. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei called those countries' position unsuitable, unjust, and oppressive. He also said his country will never use weapons of mass destruction. Tehran has said it's still discussing with the UN's nuclear watchdog whether to allow stricter inspections of its nuclear facilities. The country's foreign ministry spokesman has also warned Israel against any military attacks on its nuclear sites. Hamid Reza Asefi was responding to a question by a journalist who said Israel had recently raised the issue with President Bush. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 Tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today, or visit TornadoAir.com. It's hot, and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha! Now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, Sirius Stream 145, and streaming live audio on the internet at www.ieamericaradio.com. Radiopower.org, there you go, and live365.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. Voting machines have self-serving conservatives pre-rigged the 2004 elections by destroying exit polls and installing electronic voting machines. These kinds of questions people are actually starting to ask this is, could it be that the extreme right is grabbing control of the electoral process? I wrote an article about this that MoveOn.org mailed out to 1.7 million people a couple of weeks ago that was on Alternet and quite a few other websites. And it was called "The Theft of Your Vote is Just a Chip Away." And in writing that article, I interviewed a number of people. One of the most well-informed and articulate was Dr. Rebecca Mercury, She is an internationally recognized expert on electronic voting. The body of her work includes dozens of technical papers on computer security and electronic voting and sworn testimony for congressional and other public hearings. Dr. Mercury has observed elections as a scientist, poll worker, and committee woman in various U.S. states and has provided formal comment on voting technology to the House Science Committee, Federal Election Commission, and the Cabinet for the United Kingdom. Dr. Mercury, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me on to speak about this important issue.
Yeah, this is, I think, you know, people are, this is going to be a real pivot point. It's already, we're hearing the blowback that's happening. I mean, look what's going on with Maryland. Well, let's bring our listeners up to date on this. Can you give us a quick snapshot, first of all, of what is going on right now with this report that I think David Dell was involved with that just came out, and with the state of and SAIC and all these things. What's going on right now?
Well, it's really pretty confusing, even for us who are involved with it. Actually, David Dell, as far as I know, he really was only just a reviewer of the paper. The paper came out of Johns Hopkins University, and there was Avi Rubin there, who was like the lead scientist on that, and two of his, I believe, graduate students. And then another fellow scientist over at Rice University by the name of Dan Wallach. And basically they had reviewed some software that was actually just sitting out there on the web. The software files were discovered many months ago, and they appeared to be on a website for a contractor for the Diebold company. Now, the Diebold company makes a lot of different types of voting systems, but they're also really well known. They're a publicly traded company, and in fact, if you step up to like an automatic teller machine, like a bank machine, oftentimes you'll see either NCR or Diebold on it, and they they make a lot of your point of sale terminals, cash registers, and that sort of stuff too. So it's not unusual for them to to be involved with the voting industry. But in fact, it is a bit unusual for, a company to put their source code up on a publicly accessible website. Clearly you'd have to snoop around a little bit to find it, but you can pretty much find anything you want on the web. And
yeah, this was an FTP site, right?
Right, on an FTP site, and it was not a protected one, protected with a password or anything. It was just apparently just out there. And all these files were there. So a number of people had downloaded the files and then were interested in trying to analyze them. And so this was just sort of like an investigation that was performed on these files to see whether there was a way of constructing the voting system such that it, just to see whether it was corruptible, whether there were problems with it or that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so that's
what,
basically how it all started.
Right, Dr. Mercury, in the category of giving where credit is due, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Bev Harris who first discovered this FTP site. Right?
Right, either it was Bev Harris or it was someone associated with Bev Harris, but she was the first one who publicized the fact that it was there. It's not clear whether she discovered it, but clearly she was the first one who publicized that this site was there.
Of blackboxvoting.com.
Right, of blackboxvoting, yes.
Yep. Okay, so now you mentioned Avi Rubin, who was one of the authors of this study. I just read today a news release from Lynn Landis saying that Avi Rubin just resigned from the board of directors of, recently, like yesterday or a few days ago or something, from the board of directors of one of the big competitors of Diebold. What's he doing evaluating Diebold software?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're a big competitor. It's a small company, sort of still at the level of a startup. It's called Vote Here. They're an ambitious startup, and they'd like to contract with some of the bigger vendors to provide some of the software services. In particular, I think right now that they're marketing the cryptography software that they would like to sell to some of the other vendors. I understand that Vote Here also recently released that they're going to be partnering with Sequoia, one of the bigger vendors, who is a competitor with Diebold, with regard to that. Now, what Avi's relationship is with the company, again, I'm not Avi and I don't, want to speak for him. But this is a typical thing. A lot of times scientists are asked to serve on technical advisory boards, but one has to be very careful with regard to conflicts of interest. Now, he has asserted that he did not receive any remuneration, that, he actually didn't perform any services for the company. This is going to have to play itself out. But it's unfortunate because, it somewhat taints the report in a slight way, because the report actually, in some parts, is quite good. It really addresses some very serious security concerns, not the least of which, it's not even really mentioned in the report, but what are these files doing on a website? If a company is concerned with having a secure voting product, they shouldn't be sticking it up on the website for everybody to see.
Now, just this thing I just got in the email this morning from Lynn, I don't know if you've seen this from Lynn.
Oh, yes,
Lynn
I have.
She points out that Admiral Bill Owens, who is the chairman of the board for Vote Here, which is one of Diebold's competitors, was the senior military assistant to Dick Cheney and Frank Carlucci. And the Carlucci's company, who this guy, who is the head of Vote Here, all worked for, was known as the Carlyle Group. And also on the board of Vote Here is ex-CIA Director Robert Gates, a veteran of the Iran-Contra scandal. I mean, this is starting. And then there are the stories that we hear about the people who actually created the company that Chuck Hagel ran for a while, and then on whose machines he was elected to the United States Senate.
Right, which is another competitor of Diebold, which is the ES&S company. So the three major players are Sequoia, ES&S, and Diebold. Those are the major players in the voting industry in the United States. And they all have very strange and dubious interconnections even within themselves, or, you know, dubious, you know, other business practices that have, you know, just like as you mentioned. And all of this would not really be a concern if they sold their products in an open way, which would allow us to inspect the products and to examine them thoroughly to make sure that they're fit for use, and not to keep them, you know, shrouded under this sort of trade secret agreement that the companies actually are allowed to sell their products under.
Right. Now, wasn't ES&S initially funded or founded or started up by a family that believes that the United States Constitution should be replaced by the Bible?
Well, I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that there are two brothers, and one of them was the head of what became Diebold, and the other one, brother, is what became the head of ES&S. So it's all rather strange. I mean, one can go and look at these things. One thing that I also did was you can look at publicly available information about donations to various parties and various individuals. And if you go on the Federal Election Commission website and follow the links there, you can find it's required, you know, if you give a donation over a certain amount, that has to be recorded. And again, it's of course a person's individual right to donate to whatever party that they want to, but when you see that a voting company is donating in large amounts by its officers to one particular party, again, one has to raise some skepticism. And again, none of this would be a concern if we could independently recount the votes without having to rely on the vendors, and if we could inspect the machines, and if we were allowed to do so in an open sort of fashion. It's only a concern because it's such a big military secret. Well, not military, but...
Right. So the heads of these voting machine companies are overwhelmingly supporting, financially, Republican candidates? Is that what you're saying?
In some instances. Some of them don't have really any affiliation with either Republicans or Democrats that I can see. In the case of Sequoia, because they're a foreign company. They were owned by an Irish firm, which was one of the largest pulp recyclers on the planet, Jefferson Smurfit, and then they recently sold most of their shares of that company to a British firm, De La Rue. So we've got foreign companies writing the code and controlling the machines that are running our U.S. elections.
And isn't it a Saudi company that's going to be taking the vote for the U.S. military?
Well, that's sort of frightening, too. In fact, there's a trail. I mean, if we were making this up, I mean, people would just be laughing at us. But unfortunately,
what is going on here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is why I can't sleep at night. I mean, I'm like, what is going on here? And this is, when I read this stuff and then I trace it back and find out, you know, I read the news reports. I mean, we're not making this stuff up, you know, to your listeners. But the election.com, who actually does a lot of election services in the country, they do a lot of online things like online voter registration and whatnot. And they are partnering with Accenture, which is the reincarnation offshore of the Anderson group that, you know, is the famous Enron auditors, but, you know, a branch of that. So anyway, the Accenture company got the contract from the U.S. government to do the SERV project, which is to allow military, you know, personnel and their families to vote from overseas using the internet. And so they have engaged election.com to do some component of that work. And I have spoken to election.com folks, and they, you know, they, that's clearly the relationship that's going on there. The problem is that up till a few months ago, there was a Saudi investment group that apparently owned 51% of election.com. Now I understand that that's been transferred to Accenture. So, again, I mean, it's, who would really care about any of this? I wouldn't care about any of this ownership issue. I mean, one might still care a little bit, but we wouldn't really care as much about it if all of this was open and above board. And especially with the internet, look at, you know, I don't know how many of you, but I got infected by the blaster worm last Monday. And I'm a computer security person, so I'm very careful about stuff. And a lot of my colleagues also got infested by the blaster worm. And that's the type of thing that could, it's a denial of service attack. If that had launched on an election day, on or around it, people wouldn't be able to vote, so you could have all sorts of problems, and the vendors have no way of solving those problems. Election.com ran election in Toronto over the winter that was coincident. Again, not that there's any targets, you know, of these worms in elections yet, although who's to say that there won't be. But that was when the slammer worm was running around, and the slammer worm
crashed their system.
Right, exactly, crashed their system.
Right, we're speaking with Dr. Rebecca Mercury, an expert on computer voting systems. We got a whole bunch more questions here. If you'd like to call, by the way, 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want it's me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
what?
Hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Machines taking over. The machines are certainly taking over our votes. The core of American democracy. The vote. Thomas Paine had a whole rant about this. It's at the top of one of the articles that I wrote on Common Dreams. I can't remember it verbatim, but it was something to the effect of, American democracy depends on a free vote. If you take that away, you eliminate democracy and replace it with tyranny. And here we are. USA Today reported on November 3rd of 2002 in Georgia. An Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll shows Democratic Senator Max Cleland with a 49-44% lead over Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss. Cox News Service, based in Atlanta, reported just after the election, now this is 4 days later, that, quote, pollsters may have goofed because Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Max Cleland by a margin of 53-46%. The Hotline, a political news service, recalled a series of polls Wednesday showing that Chambliss had been ahead in none of them. Not only in Georgia, not only did the Senate race go to the Republican when all the polls indicated that the Democrat should have had it. This Democrat being Max Cleland, a war veteran who lost three limbs in Vietnam, who was being attacked by a draft dodger from Vietnam, the Vietnam era, who was claiming that Cleland wasn't sufficiently patriotic. But also the governor race, Democratic Governor Roy Barnes, who was ahead in the polls by 52-45% the day of the elections, came out with, by 48-39% just before the elections, lost to Sonny Perdue, this Republican, by 52-45%. And, you know, again, the Zogby polling organization says, similarly, no polls predicted the upset victory of Republican Sonny Perdue. And then we find on this FTP website, this is the company that put in all the voting machines in Georgia. We find, Bev Harris found this file called Rob Georgia. And turns out there's a guy named Rob. But it has just created this echo of concern and paranoia. You know, was there an error? Was the vote stolen? Did somebody hack into it? Somebody who knew what they were doing? We're talking with Rebecca Mercury, Dr. Rebecca Mercury, an internationally recognized expert on electronic voting. Dr. Mercury, first of all, do you have a website that I can point people to for more information about you and the work you're doing?
Absolutely, yes. And in fact, it's, you know, has a great wealth of information on there, lots of articles and links to other really important sites. So it's www.notablesoftware, N-O-T-A-B-L-E, software, all one word, .com. And then if you click on the electronic voting, there's all sorts of information there, and people can get started with that. So it'll be a great help.
Great. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And we've got about a minute here before we have to go to a break. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Jeff, do you have a quick question, or you want to hang on through the break?
Well, I have a quick question. I'd like to hang on because there are a couple things.
One of the things that were most alarming about the 2000 selection was that it seems like anybody who's been interested in fairness would be up in arms right now. I mean, in Georgia, there is admittedly, at various times, 2 to 5% error rate in voting. And so it's like anybody who seems to want to actually have a Democratic Republic here would be up in arms about all this. Yeah. And I wanted to ask, what do you feel about open source voting software?
Okay, Dr. Mercury?
Okay, well, I'll address just open source very briefly. Open source does not protect you against anything, because if you have intention to create malicious code, you can embed it in the compiler that compiled that open source. Just because you have open source, that actually does not mean that the source that is, you know, the code, the compiled code that's running was really generated from that open source. So you need a whole bunch of other procedures and protocols. It could be running on a Microsoft operating system. The FEC allows us to use what they call COTS, commercial off-the-shelf operating systems, to run voting systems on, and so one could have a worm in it or, you know, a virus. So just because you have open source, that does not really protect you. I can address the error rate after your break.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Mercury. We're speaking with Dr. Rebecca Mercury. You're with the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A company-imposed deadline came and went, but contract talks between Goodyear Tire and Rubber and the United Steelworkers of America keep dragging on. The Steelworkers Union thinks Goodyear wants to close four of its 14 U.S. plants and wants the company to guarantee the security of its workers. But Goodyear is pleading poverty, saying that unless it has the flexibility to move jobs overseas, it may have to enter into bankruptcy. 20,000 workers in 11 states have gone since mid-April without a labor contract.
More than 3,000 clerical, maintenance, and food service workers at the University of Minnesota are taking strike votes to express their displeasure with the status of contract talks with the state. A budget crunch has the university planning to freeze everyone's pay for a year and raise health insurance premiums, a move which two unions, Teamsters Local 320 and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 3800, say is tantamount to a pay cut. The 1,300 Teamsters members are in the middle of their strike vote. The AFSCME local and its 1,800 members will start balloting on August 27th.
Another shooting death of a journalist in Iraq. 43-year-old Palestinian Mazen Dana was shot dead by U.S. troops Sunday as he filmed troop movements for the Reuters news agency on the outskirts of Baghdad. While U.S. Central Command says the shooting was a regrettable error, many of Dana's fellow journalists question that statement, saying the troops knew there were journalists in the area at the time of the shooting. Both Reporters Without Borders and the Committee to Protect Journalists are calling for a full investigation. Since the start of the invasion and occupation, 17 foreign journalists have been killed while covering the conflict. Two others are missing and presumed dead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Dr. Rebecca Mercury. NotableSoftware.com is her website. She's one of the leading experts on the planet on computer voting systems. And we were talking with Jeff in Denver. Jeff, Steve tells me that you've dropped off the line. If you had intended to hang on over the break, feel free to call right back. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Rebecca, Dr. Mercury, you were just finishing up your answer to Jeff's question. You had a part two there.
Right. So what I wanted to say was that, you know, although open source is a good idea, it's only part of the solution. If we go back to his other part of his question, which was about the 2 to 5% error rate, this was known long before 2000. I've been researching this subject since 1989, and I was well aware, many election officials had told me that there was this error rate. We all knew this. This is, you know, it was sort of an internally known thing. I think the American public did not know about this error rate. And what's interesting about the error rate, it doesn't matter what systems you have, whether they're lever machines, whether they're paper ballots, whether they're electronic, you still get this 2 to 5% error rate. Now, you know, that's another issue to figure out why that is. But as it turns out, what the vendors and what some election officials want you to believe is that if we go to the computers, that error rate is going to go down. In fact, what they saw in Florida, when some counties purchased the electronic and other counties purchased the optical scan paper ballots, that in fact it was where the electronic was where the error rate was actually worse. So, and MIT did a study on that, and they did demonstrate that with their data, but then, you know, unfortunately, MIT and Caltech seem to keep saying that we need the electronic machines. I don't understand why they come up with that conclusion when their data shows otherwise. But this is why we want openness in elections. And what I had come up with an idea in 1992, I believe, and in last year I actually coined the phrase voter-verified paper ballots, where you would actually go in, cast your ballot, but your ballot gets printed out on a piece of paper. You take a look at it. You don't take that paper with you. You see how you voted. That's how you voted. You put it in the box. And then that's be able to be available for recounts. It might even be the official totals of the election that would be counted off of that. And then you could have open source, and you could have examination of the voting machines, but the bottom line is that the voter wants to see how they voted, and they can't see it if it just gets invisibly whisked away. That's the problem in Georgia. We'll never really know what happened in Georgia because all those machines just whisk the numbers away, and then they just print out a little paper at the end of the day. Here's your totals. And this is just, you know, unacceptable. We have a bill in Congress right now. Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey had introduced a bill back at the end of May. It's linked to my website, and we do need, you know, endorsers on that bill of Republicans, because unless we get any Republicans to break ranks there, that bill's not going to go through. But there's quite a few Democrats in the House that have endorsed it already, and we really are hoping that everybody would, you know, who's hearing this, will check that bill out and then write to their congressperson and ask them to endorse the bill, because it's really important. It does include the idea of open source, where it would be, you know, to some extent available for perusal, maybe under you know, a court order or what have you, but at least it would be available, which it's not now. And then also the important thing about the voter-verified paper ballots, that's really important.
Right, and these Republicans who don't want to bring this thing to a floor vote or even out of committee are the ones who are the major recipients of the donations from the voting machine company, or at least their party is. We have there's an interesting article here that I'm trying to find the source of it. I know I've got it here. Hang on just a second. Anyhow, well, I'll have to get to it when I get to the end of it. But anyway, we have taken the position all along. We're going to go slow and examine the new machines very carefully, said Virginia Beach Registrar Marlene Clea Hager. Hang on to that name. Brian J. Williams, who certifies voting machines for Virginia, Georgia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and Georgia being one of those states where this is most hotly contested, this last election, a lot of people doubt the veracity of the outcome of that election, and Maryland, where they are in the process of converting to all of these machines, who is a defender of Diebold, or Diebold, he said, adding receipts would create a paperwork nightmare for election officials. And I'm like, wait a minute, create a paperwork nightmare? I mean, the election officials don't know how to handle paper? Isn't that what they've been doing for 200 years? I mean, it's like, he also warned that printers typically break down frequently. Like, you know, like with ATMs and gas pumps. I mean, if we can do this in supermarkets, what's wrong with a voting booth?
Exactly. These are the types of ridiculous things that we hear about. Now, think about how many millions of lottery tickets are sold every single day in this country. And would you buy a lottery ticket if they told you, oh, we'll take your dollar and we'll call you if you won? I don't think so. And they
right,
print
exactly.
them out. We can deal with that. We can make them secure. People have said, oh, people, it won't be secure. We, you know, if you could make your own lottery ticket, I'd have a $1 million one in my wallet right now, too, and I'm sure you would. And the whole thing about if you walk around in any day, you're getting handed all sorts of receipts, and in fact, that's why I think it's ridiculous to say that Diebold, a manufacturer who makes ATMs, who's printing out millions of those little ATM receipts every day from those ATMs, you know, how you would say that these printers jam. I don't remember the last time I saw any printers jam, and we use paper all the time. These types of arguments and some of the other arguments that I've heard, they're basically nonsense. People are saying that the paper ballots would be disadvantageous to the disabled, to the blind. They have ways of reading paper, too. They have scanners.
It be that the reason behind their opposition to the paper ballots is that they really are trying to rig the elections? Because I can't think of any other good reason.
Well, we haven't been able to prove that, and, you know, there's no way to actually prove it, because any time we've had some real problem where we went into court and have, you know, tried to contest this, then they just hide behind, well, it's a trade secret, so you can't examine the machine, and you can't even examine the machine to the point to see if it was even broken at the time when the election was occurring.
And this is the point that I keep making, is that this vote is our commons. This is something we all own commonly. This is not a function for private industry that has vested interests and that can, in this bizarre fashion, buy off politicians. We have two callers on the line here, Dr. Rebecca Mercury, for Dr. Rebecca Mercury, whose website is notablesoftware.com, and I want to get to these. One is Jeff in Denver had another question. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman, or welcome back to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Your final question here. Jeff? Maybe we don't have Jeff.
Hello.
Lost Jeff. Oh. Too bad.
Oh, I heard a hello there. Is that Jeff?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Jeff, speak up and speak
okay.
up.
Okay, given this margin of error on voting, we have to look at, I think, with all the major elections, 2002 and 2000, that especially in 2002, we honestly do not know who won in the majority of elections. Given, you know, so both houses of Congress and the presidency could be switched just because of this margin of error.
Exactly. And one of the interesting things about science is that in science, when you have data that falls within the margin of error, as we know, then you just throw that out. You basically say, okay, well, it's a tie. It's a dead heat. We can't decide one way or another, and so we have to rephrase our experiment and run it again. And so you don't make a decision when something falls within the margin of error. And the interesting thing about the vendors and also the election officials is that they have two error rates. One is what they call the machine error rate, and that's using pristine ballots and all sorts of perfect, you know, using the computer to enter in the data. And that error rate is very low. So most elections do not fall within the machine error rate, but there's this other error rate, and MIT and Caltech characterize this as, they call it the residual vote rate. It's sort of like if you come in and you vote for president and dog catcher and skip all the other, you know, races in there, we don't know whether you intended to skip those or whether those were really skipped for you because the computer dropped out your votes on that. Now, again, if it was printed out on a piece of paper, it would say president, who you voted for, dog catcher, who you voted for, and then the other ones, it would say no choice, no choice, no choice. So it would be very right. clear to you that you deliberately chose not to do that. Again, we don't have that. And so we have no way of knowing when we have this residual vote rate whether it's really something that's an artifact of the computer system or the voting system that we're using, or whether it's a deliberate choice on the part of the voter. We do, though, know that there have been numerous instances where people have voted and their vote was not recorded. Unfortunately, we've never been able to demonstrate that there's tampering.
Or was recorded incorrectly. There were situations in Florida where people tried to vote for Jeb Bush's opponent and it registered as a vote for Jeb Bush on these touchscreen machines.
Yes.
And in Texas, where they tried to vote for the Democrats and it was recorded as Republican votes.
Right, exactly. Or it wouldn't even let them vote for the Democrats. It just would keep popping up for the Republicans, and they had to go into court on that. So that's the stuff that you can see. So if that's the stuff that we can see, then we really don't know what the depth of the stuff that you can't see that's inside the machine is actually going on. And again, the vendors and the election officials claim that there are no problems with these machines, but we have demonstrated numerous instances, and as these machines proliferate, we're demonstrating more and more instances. Again, if you have the paper, then if the paper's printing out not the way you want, then you go to the election official there at the table and say, I'm not leaving until I can get my ballot printed out the way I want it to. So you can register a protest right there, and we have laws that allow you to do that. But with the machines, you just can't tell.
That's right. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Was Jeff still there with the final comment?
Yeah, I just had the last question. So you would agree that it's possible that we don't know in the majority of elections who's actually won?
I would say that with any of the close elections, the plausible way to do this is that you should have a runoff election, and then it should be beyond the error rate. The result would have to be beyond that. But that's not the way our election laws work. Our election laws say we're counting every vote, even though we know we're not counting every vote because some votes get lost. And then we just keep counting them until we come up with one person getting one more vote than the other person. And that's not really the way we do anything else in science, but it is the law the way we do our elections. So, unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with.
Thanks.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it. And 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. And Zen in Georgia is on the line. Zen, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Zen. How you doing?
Okay. But I'll get better. I have my own personal anecdote about the Georgia electronic voting machines.
Okay.
Back in November, that afternoon we went up to vote, and I was in the middle of my vote, and the machine crashed on me. And I went up to the worker, and they said, well, try this other machine. That one crashed on me.
Wow.
By the end of it, we had crashed 9 machines.
Oh, wow.
And I asked, what did they tell you in training to do when they crash? And they said, well, we asked, and they said, well, the machines won't crash on you. And so after they were on the phone with all these people, they finally came back and said, okay, they work now. I said, what'd you do? Well, we cleared the memory.
Whoa.
Where'd it go? I don't know. So I have no idea if every vote before my vote that day was kind of cleared out.
And that's the thing. They're all sealed. If it was in the piece of paper, at least we'd have those on the paper. And if the machine totals at the end were different, we'd still have the paper. Were you doing anything special? Like, were you trying to do a write-in or anything?
Yeah, I was doing write-ins.
Yes. And, in fact, that's what we saw in Florida. In fact, I even have a videotape of Teresa Lepore, the election official in Palm Beach, when she was demonstrating the machines in Florida.
Yeah.
No, those are different machines than they were using in Palm Beach and they were using in Georgia, but all of a sudden it went into this weird write-in mode, and she goes, oops, and the engineer sort of getting out of it, and then she goes in the back and represses the button on the back. I have a videotape of her showing this. She didn't expect it. So write-ins are particularly a problem, and again, if your program should be able to handle write-ins, because again, that's the law, but we find that does tend to cause these problems, but then we don't know what happens once those problems occur.
That's an even bigger problem in Georgia, because the ballot access laws are so hard, stringent, that most races are unopposed. So the only way you can get anyone else is to write them in.
Right, exactly. That is exactly right, because you really are, it's almost like a one-party race, because things are running unopposed. So, yeah, it's really unfortunate, but yet there's no real way to control this sort of thing. I have to say one thing to Georgia's credit is that they do actually, believe it or not, even though the fact that they're using these questionable machines, they actually have one of the most stringent inspection programs in the state. they actually take every single machine, and then it's run through a battery of tests by a, there's a college, actually, that performs this. And when they bought all those new machines for your state prior to that election, they actually threw out 850 machines that came from the manufacturer that they said were defective in one way or another.
Well, obviously, a write-in test wasn't one of the tests.
Right, or they would have thrown out even more of them. But I have to say that there's many states that don't even do that. And the fact that the vendor would supply 850 of them that, you know, out of the large batch that were that had to be sent back, that also makes you really wonder. So it's, you know, there's all sorts of problems with these machines, unfortunately.
Yeah. Is this Zen Pickle from our chat room?
Yes, it is, Tom.
Hey, Zen Pickle.
Hey.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, sure. I want to wave hi to Coach Glenn because he said, hi, Zen.
Okay. We'll pass it along. Great. Thanks a lot for calling. Dr. Mercury, what can we do about this?
Well, basically, Rush's bill is really important. We really want to,
Rush
you
Holt.
Know, to get as much support for Rush's bill as possible. And then the second thing that I've been encouraging people to do, and it's really picking up, is to read the information on my website, start out with the things that are marked with a red asterisk. And
this
then,
is the website at NotableSoftware.com.
NotableSoftware.com, and go to the voting part of that, and then you'll see lots of articles. There's one called A Better Ballot Box that explains how you would implement this voter-verified solution. And make copies of these articles. The ones that are written by me, you can freely copy. I grant people permission to do that. And then give them to your local election officials, especially if you hear that they're thinking of buying these things. The Help America Vote Act, they're talking about expending something like $3.8 billion on new voting equipment and all sorts of other voting services. And this is federal money over the next few years, and a lot of that is going to go to the election equipment. And so a lot of states are looking at buying new equipment, and they don't really know what to buy. We're really encouraging that people only buy machines that have the voter verified ballot, and some of the manufacturers, are, including ES&S, are stepping up to the plate and are providing that as an option, but it has to be asked for, so you want to make sure you ask for it. Or that you actually just have your community just go to the optical scanning ballots. Those can be prepared in such a way that the disabled can prepare them.
Kind of old-fashioned.
And, right, the old-fashioned, but they can they can even use touch.
Rebecca, I have to interrupt you here because the tyranny of the clock is upon us. Dr. Rebecca Mercury, thank you very much for being on the program. Your website, NotableSoftware.com, and thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate your sharing that information with us. I join you in encouraging people to contact their congressperson or senator and encourage them to participate with Representative Rush Holt in his bill. And I called actually our local Secretary of State's office, and they didn't know about this stuff here in Vermont because, you know, we still do things by hand here. But anyhow, call your local officials. Thank you, Rebecca. Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. This is Tom Harbin. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Jamming Democracy here on the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. About a quarter, actually it's more than a quarter and a little less than a third of the Fortune 500 companies have been convicted at one time or another of a felony. Do you want felons running the business of America? In America, we have this core concept called the common, and not just America. I mean, this goes back to ancient Greece. This goes back, tribal people understand this really well. Human beings have known about the commons for 100,000, for a million years. We've always known about it. The commons is that stuff that we share in common. It is not private property. It's public, what's called public property, the public trust, the public funds, the commons, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the quality of the and safety and viability of the food we eat, the transportation systems, our roads, in historically our electric power systems and grids. And here we have, for example, the health industry. I would suggest to you that the healthcare industry is part of the commons, and that's why, for the majority of the existence of the United States, hospitals had to be nonprofit corporations, and insurance companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield that providing health care had to be nonprofit. And this whole corporatization thing. Now we see that just in the last three fiscal years, healthcare companies in the United States have been convicted of so many felonies that they have, and other kinds of crimes, that they have paid $4.21 billion in fines. Just in fines. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our quote for the day, the liberty of a democracy is not safe if the people tolerate the growth of private power to a point where it becomes stronger than their democratic state itself. That is, in its essence, fascism. Ownership of government by an individual, by a group, or by any controlling power, and ownership of our vote, I would submit, is fascism as well. It is dangerous, it is destructive to democracy, and in my opinion, it should be stopped. We should have government providing the commons of the vote, not private for-profit, Republican-donating corporations. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson in Georgia, and engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker and Steve Damschroeder. Thank you all very much. Join us. Thanks, and thank you for listening today. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place. This is Tom Hartman. I'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese.